Hello and welcome to the Oldie News Round with Giles and Mary. Giles Wood, the distinguished artist and columnist at the Oldie, and Mary Killen, Oldie contributor and author of the Dear Mary column in the Spectator. The worrying news this week is that a new Omicron strain of coronavirus has emerged. Mary, first, are you worried about it and will it change your behaviour?
I'm not worried about it. I'm annoyed by it because we've had enough suffering. We've just got through almost, 20 months of suffering. And it's time, you know, we can only take so much suffering. And I'm tempted to just carry on being a COVID cavalier and just carrying on going out, keeping my distance. I don't want to go in steamy lifts with people.
Neither do you go to nightclubs, Mary, anymore.
I don't go to nightclubs. Don't want to go in steamy lifts. Don't particularly want to. I mean, I have been on the tube a lot, but I've been wearing a mask. I note a lot of other people weren't wearing a mask last week.
But you will still go to London, Mary. You'll still go on for your social...
Yeah, I still go to London because, honestly, I mean, life's too short and... you know, it just feels like a sort of plant which is being denied watering if you can't see your friends.
And how are you feeling about it, Giles? You lead relatively isolated life, so perhaps it's not so worrying.
I quite like the new when they were deciding what to call it. I noticed you said Omicron. I pronounce it Omicron because I haven't been to university. I've got a huge chip on my shoulder about not having been to university. I went to art school, which was...
But actually, Giles, you're right. I'm wrong. It is Omicron because it's a short Omicron. O as opposed to Omega. And I bet you learned Greek at your smart school, didn't you?
No, just Latin, I'm afraid.
Right. Well, anyway, you're right. I'm wrong. It is Omicron.
Omicron. But Omicron in my mind, which is a fairly simple mind, I think Omi should be changed to Omni, so I think it should be Omnicrom, as in Omni shambles.
Yes.
And Crom, is it Crom?
Yeah.
Cron is obviously chronic.
Yeah.
So it's like a Isaac Asimov 70s robot novel, Omicron.
Yeah.
It's a very 70s word.
That's genius. Do you really mind not having gone to university, or is that a pretend thing?
I wished I hadn't gone to art school. It was a terrible waste of time, except for a lovely drawing teacher I had, who was Maggie Hambling, and she is a very precious and dear person.
And a brilliant artist.
And a brilliant artist, although a maverick artist and sculptor. I love her sculptures.
But Giles was at art school in the sort of post-70s when the teachers didn't really teach anything. They just sat there making mysterious, ambiguous remarks and they imparted no teaching skills apart from Maggie Hambling.
I was told that I was suffering from masterpiece syndrome, Mary. Do you remember that?
Which is what?
Which is... I produced a piece of work which was out of their particular frame of reference. Therefore, they didn't understand it. Therefore, I was suffering from masterpiece syndrome.
Meaning that you were trying to perfectionize it?
I didn't understand what they meant at the time.
They were abstract expressionists, largely. And those were the days when you got a job in an art school and you had it for life, whether you were any use to the students or not. They've changed the rules now, and I think all the art tutors are on yearly contracts, which can be cancelled.
So, Giles, you're an extremely good artist, but your talents were not learned at art school. They were already there, is that correct?
I was a self-taught artist, and what else about art school was fascinating? Oh, yes, I had such a huge grant because, of course, my parents didn't work. They tried to live off stocks and shares without success. And so I had a full grant. I literally couldn't spend it. And so I took a taxi to art college every day. And what I had left over in small change, I spent at the Leathern Bottle, Mary, a full three-course meal or full English with a pint of Young's.
But Giles, don't you now, when you meet lots of people from university, realise you're far more intelligent than them and so have a feeling of enormous superiority?
Yes. And of course, if I had to pay back my student grant, I would never have gone. I wouldn't have bothered. I would have spent the year as an Irish navvy. I can't say that anymore.
No, the year as an Irish navvy.
Three years, wasn't it?
But you might have taken a tip from Ewan Blair, the son of Tony, and become an apprentice to an artist.
Yes, indeed.
Or a mosaicist. In Giles's case, Harry, he went to the school in Ravenna, I think probably the only school in the world, maybe, which teaches mosaic making.
And there they taught it rigorously, much more rigorously than at Erasmus.
There wasn't much call for Byzantine mosaicists in England.
But you did have a commission, and he's there's one in our cottage which is stunning, but his first commission, it got off on the wrong foot because the man who commissioned him had bad taste, and Giles spent almost a year trying to do a mosaic in bad taste.
Yes.
What was it of?
It was very garish, sort of vulgar colours, giant daffodil, and particularly nasty colours, pink and yellows and mauve.
Well, I daydream that he will start again because we have the little tesserae, little glass squares in the shed at the end of the garden.
And they're very fashionable because, did you see last week, they discovered this fantastically beautiful Roman mosaic in Rutland. Absolutely fantastic.
Wasn't it beautiful? A mythological scene it was describing. It was Virgil's Odyssey or something.
It was the Iliad. Yes, British Roman mosaic that showed the Iliad. Now, our next item might take...
Not having been to university, of course, Virgil.
This next item, it won't matter that you haven't been to university. In fact, it might take you back to those leathern bottle days that Jeremy Clarkson has just launched his new beer, Hawkston, which is made out of barley grown on his own farm, which he's been covering in his, I think, very enjoyable series, Jeremy Clarkson's Farm. Giles, you're quite a beer drinker, and there are these British beer obsessives. Are you one of those?
Well, Clarkson's done more for farming and bringing to attention to the public the problems of farmers than the NFU has done in 1,000 years.
And, how's he done that?
I'm very keen on beer, and was until very recently an avid beer drinker, and still drink beer when Mary's away. But the unfortunate thing is that I get my spirit back when I have beer, and I become argumentative and belligerent.
And would you agree with that, Mary?
Well, fortunately, he can't process more than one bottle of beer, although he sometimes has two. But yes, I mean, he doesn't like start punch-ups or anything, but he makes cutting remarks.
Well, I think, on the other hand, there is a thing called a Stella Artois wife beater. In other words, the nastier the beer, the higher the strength of the lager lout came about because it has the most terrible effect on men. And I think drinking real ale, they tend to be nice people wearing thick knit sweaters and sitting around talking about session beer. And I think I almost joined that thing, campaign for real ale, Mary. At one stage I went to a meeting in Devizes, or at least I said, could I sit in and see whether it was for me or not? And at the end of the meeting, I realized it wasn't for me, but I admire what they're trying to do. And this has never been a better time to be a beer drinker. It's fantastic.
And what are your favorite beers, Giles? Did you like British beers?
Micro breweries coming everywhere.
I like
Ramsbury Ale, which is our local tipple. And I like one from Scotland, which is an organic beer.
Black Isle?
Black Isle beer. And there's one called Yellowhammer, which is really zingy and fresh, and it's got all the sort of flavours of Scotland.
Can I ask, is Jeremy Clarkson's one real? Is it real ale?
I expect it will be.
I imagine it must be, but actually he did say in his enjoyable article that he can't be bothered to pass all sorts of tests that you have to do to get classified as something or other. But it is quite, I mean, he's growing it on his own farm, his barley, and then sends it off to be malted. And
He would use petrol instead of yeast. Would you? No, that's a joke.
Oh, I see.
Or has it? Did it not land, that joke?
No.
Okay. I expect you. He puts a bit of petrol in.
Yeah, said he's named it after a very nice Neolithic stone on a neighbouring farm, Hawkston. And Mary, in fact, this time last year for the older, you wrote an extremely good article about not drinking at Christmas because you don't drink at all now. Is that right?
I used to be an enthusiastic drinker, and 4 years ago, I caught Campylobacter, a disease that you get from either soil or uncooked meat. I won't go into the details, but suffice to say I had to be treated with antibiotics.
No, please don't give us an organ recital, Mary.
And I said to the doctor, I don't need the antibiotics, I'm better. And he said, no, you've no idea what havoc Campylobacter can wreak in your insides. And when I finished the course of antis, I raised a glass of wine to my lips and I was recoiled. I recoiled just as I did when pregnant. I'd gone off it. I didn't want it anywhere near me.
And thank God for that, Mary, because you put away the waves of violence. Do you remember you were a violent woman before you stopped drinking? And now you've put away the ways of violence.
Charles, I wasn't violent. I once threw a cup of milk at you after 40 full years of provocation.
Saved our marriage, Harry, anyway.
What was the instance where you threw the cup of milk?
Oh, well, I think that... what would you have said?
I was probably drinking beer at the time.
Yes, you'd had beer.
So I was probably being provocative.
Oh, I know. I was clearing up the house and you said, why do you always automatically take on the role of servant?
Yes.
As you lay in a chair,
yeah,
sipping your old peculiar or whatever it was.
Yes,
the authentic question of the minor public schoolboy.
Yeah. And Mary, you don't miss it, and you're very sociable. You don't feel the lack of it as social fuel at parties. Oh.
I would have expected to feel a bit better by now after 4 years of not drinking. But I love that rush of well-being that I used to get. You know, it only lasted a short time, maybe an hour and a quarter or something like that. Oh, from when you start drinking, you do have a rush of well-being. And then after that, it's kind of maintenance for the rest of the evening. But the thing about drink is it does help you to stay awake, doesn't it? Because if you're not drinking, you tend to think, well, I might as well go to bed now, it's 10 o'clock.
It also makes you think other people are more interesting. That famous Christopher Hitchens line, when accused of being drunk, he said, I'm only getting drunk to get over how boring you are to the boring person he's talking to.
Yeah, no, I don't. I just like...
But there are whole countries, Mary, whose culture is dedicated to drink. Ireland, Finland,
Russia,
Norway, and then Wiltshire dinner parties sometimes end up with people drinking too much and then doing karaoke at 4 o'clock in the morning.
My God. Has intake gone up or down at Wiltshire dinner parties over the last couple of decades?
Apparently they've gone up massively.
Really? What are the factors, do you think?
No, since COVID, people were doing private drinking. Just because they were so bored, people were drinking twice as much during COVID.
Why no clock?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Mary's whole character has improved since she gave up drinking.
Well, that's very good. Sorry, go on, Mary.
I do miss it. I'd like that sensation of, you know, where you sort of rise up at the same time as the person you're drinking with and you reach a common territory together as you're the same level of drunkenness as they are.
It's called inflatus.
Now, moving on to our last item in the Oldie News Round Nature Corner. I was on the Purbeck coast in Dorset this weekend. It's wonderfully cold and crisp. Do you think the cold actually improves the look and feel of the country? I'll ask Giles first.
Well, not only that, it's very important for certain natural processes. Certain seeds won't germinate unless they have this process of vernalization, in which they've got to have frost, and the action of frost will help break up the casing of the seed. not having a proper winter is pretty disastrous for flora and fauna. And of course, we all have to worry about climate change. So this last few days has been a welcome reminder of what an English winter used to be like. And we need a lot more cold weather to get rid of the rodents and in order to get rid of the weak and straggling birds in favor of the strong. We're great believers in the survival of the fittest. With human beings, it seems to be the opposite. People like me surviving who shouldn't be surviving, really. But in nature, we definitely need to get back to survival of the fittest.
Why?
Can I just add a personal note? My sister went to Canada where it was dry and cold. And she said what was striking was that there was a barn, the owner of the house that they were living in, that had left books there for 10 years in a barn, and they were dry and they hadn't rotted. If you left books in an English barn, they'd have mildew and they'd rot within a few weeks of our wet winters.
And Mary, do you enjoy the cold? The old familiar line, was it Dr. Johnson who said, there's no such thing as bad weather, just wrong clothes. Do you embrace the cold?
Well, yeah, I do. I do like it because I like putting on the correct clothes now and going out, and I feel like I'm looking out of a little house through, you know, a hatch in my hood. And I feel like I'm walking along within a little warm house because I'm properly dressed, but it took me years to get properly dressed.
Now, the interesting about clothing for cold weather, Nutty, because at one stage I wanted to do an article for the Tatler promoting Gore-Tex anoraks.
Yeah.
And they were going to get me on one side and a fruit farmer on the other side called Desmond.
Oh, yeah.
And he wanted to come on, and the article was going to be called Tweed versus Terraline.
Brilliant.
And I was going to be Terraline, and he was going to be Tweed, because he said that there was nothing like wool or a tweed coat. Coats, not jackets. Gentlemen wear coats, potatoes have jackets. anyway, so wool is the thing when you're standing at a peg, at a pheasant shoot, apparently, but I would always choose Gore-Tex.
And actually, Mary, I noticed that you, like me, are wearing a black padded jacket. So much as I love tweed, I'm in your camp, Giles. It is warmer, these thick padded jackets. They're amazing.
Yes.
They're not made in tweed, though, are they?
No.
Sleeveless thing is not made in tweed. The reason that you and I wear them, Harry, is they've got useful pockets for phones and keys.
And they're very light, but we would be mocked at every shoot from here to Timbuktu if we wore them, wouldn't we? Our terrible enemy class rearing up its ugly head again, isn't it?
The thing I like most of all, Mary, every year she throws them away, or she sends them to landfill, are fleece jackets, which are made of nuclear waste. And market traders wear them, and I absolutely love them. Fleece.
Yes, yeah.
God knows what
I don't like them, but Harry, I must just say that Giles has been a bit annoying because we found a beautiful little chair on a skip.
What's this got to do with it?
Well, because you've left it outside to get frosted.
Oh, yes, that's right. I do take things off skips regularly. I'm a great recycler.
Yeah.
And I suddenly thought, well, maybe this thing might have bugs on it or pests or something, crabs or something. So I thought the best thing to leave it was let the frost get to it and let the weather get to it. And so the last few days I've left it out in the bad weather, and that should deal with any infestations.
No rain.
And rain as well. So rain, frost, snow, everything. I've thrown everything at
this. Is this an age-old countryman's trick, is it?
It's my invention. I don't know if it's cheaper than taking it to Sketchley's. The Sketchley's wouldn't take chairs.
They wouldn't take chairs, no.
But Mary, you prefer to bring in this lovely chair into the warm.
Yes, I want it. And I'm sure it'll just rot if it gets too wet.
And one last question about this time of year. Would we right to say that the light is much lower? Is that right? There's amazing effects in Dorset this morning of light catching, you know, those humped hills. That's correct. You get, as an artist, Giles, that's right. You get entirely different light effects in winter.
We like to call it slanting light at this time of year. always never, very rarely overhead. It's always at an angle and it casts deep shadows. But one of the things I particularly enjoy at this time of year is the before December are these sort of red green colors. I'm red green colorblind, but I can see at the sunset that it turns all the hedges as a red color.
Russet
color.
Lovely.
You mentioned the foliage of the oaks has gone a very indefinable color, somewhere between red and buff. And I can't think what color that is.
And I've always wondered about color blindness. Presumably it has no effects on your paintings, because what you think is red in a tree is also red on your palette. So it comes out looking the same to a non-colorblind person. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes. It's to do with that. And we all know that in the classical world, there was either they called green blue or blue greens or something. There was, because I haven't been to university, I can't remember the anecdote.
Well, I think that's a good place at which to stop. Thanks so much to Giles and Mary for appearing on the Aldi News Round.